As you know, the summer of the year 2001, I spent living and working in France. I thought to myself, you know, this summer I can get a job working in Ontario, or I could get a job working in France. And so I thought, I'm going to go to France. I was also studying French in university at that point, and so it was a great opportunity for me to be able to spend time soaking in the language and the culture that I was learning so much about. So I packed a bag, and I took my guitar, and off I went to France. And there were some tough times. I made a loaf of bread stretch very long one day, and there was a hostel that I stayed in that left a smell on my rain jacket that would not go away no matter how much it got rained on. But all in all, it was a very good experience. You know, I had a great place to live. I had a great place to work. I had a great church community to be with. My mom and dad came and stayed with me for a while in France. It was a very good experience. That time that I spent in France has in many ways shaped who I am today. And I remember very clearly the morning that I was flying back to Canada. I was sitting on the floor in the Charles de Gaulle airport waiting for the airplane to take me home. And this melody crept into my mind. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I thought, where did that come from? Because I was in France, they weren't playing English hymns very often, and the church that I went to didn't play English hymns very often. It was at least 4 months since I'd sung that song, and then I realized it was my heart saying, those words are true. All that I needed, God's hand had provided. And he had been greatly faithful to me. As I see that, I can see many of you nodding your head as if to say, yeah, the hymn is right. Great is God's faithfulness to me. That hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, consistently ranks at the top of, you know, most favorite, most popular, best hymns of all time. And it's no surprise, because that hymn very succinctly and very movingly captures this truth that God is indeed faithful. So what I'd like to do with you this Thanksgiving morning is to unpack that hymn and to think about what it is that Great is Thy Faithfulness as a hymn tells us. And then, of course, we will sing those words together. Now, I would invite you to turn with me in your hymn book. I realize it is on your bulletin. So if you want to see on the bulletin, but if you want to go old school, number 43 is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we are going to go to the Bible as well, so don't put those away. It's number 43 in the hymn book, or it is on your handout there. As hymns go, well, what do you think? How old do you think Great is Thy Faithfulness is? You know, it's an old traditional. Any guesses? I heard Ben say very. Very old.
Because it has thy in it.
Because it has thy in it, sure. Yeah, that's a good observation. In fact, Great is Thy Faithfulness is very young as hymns go. 1923 is the year that it was written in. And so that means that it will be 100 next year. Maybe we'll throw a party for it. So 1923, it's not very old compared to the hymns of Wesley and Watts and so on back in the 1700s. But ever since it was written down, I think, Great is Thy Faithfulness has been very important for us. So let's look at these words. Verse 1. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Now, where did the hymn writer get those words from? The man who wrote it was named Thomas Chisholm. He was a teacher in Kentucky. He became a minister later on in his life. You might assume that he got those words just from his own experience, because those are accurate words to describe the way that God interacts with us. But in fact, he got these words from the Bible. You might as well turn with me in your Bibles to Lamentations 3, because that is the sort of thematic frame that Chisholm uses. So Lamentations 3, Lamentations is written by Jeremiah, so it comes right after Jeremiah in your Bible and right before Ezekiel. It's kind of squished in there as a sandwich. Encourage you to keep your Bibles on Lamentations 3, because I'll come back to it at the end too. So we've heard verse 1 of Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lamentations 3:22. Just listen to the comparison. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's where Chisholm got the main theme for his hymn. I read this week a book about gospel hymn writers, and they quoted him, or they wrote about him saying, his aim in writing was to incorporate as much scripture as possible and to avoid flippant or sentimental themes. And so he takes Lamentations 3 and uses that as the frame for his hymn. Lamentations 3 isn't the only passage that he quotes, though. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Does that sound familiar to you? Where in the Bible does that come from? Do you know? It's the book of James. It's the book of James. You don't need to turn there. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So Chisholm takes the idea of God being great in faithfulness, and he takes the idea of God being never changing, and he puts them together and says, this is why God is always faithful. It's because he never changes. Who he was in the beginning, he will always be, which means that he will be as faithful from the beginning as he is to the end. And then he says, your compassions, they fail not. Well, that's Lamentations 3 again, right? Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. God has and forever will be with his people. That's just who he is. And so Chisholm takes that into the chorus or the refrain. Again, this is just a paraphrase of Lamentations 3. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. I started myself too high. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's Lamentations 3:23, right? God's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Chisholm has just taken those two ideas, flipped them around, and added some rhythm to it. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's a real testament. Did you ever think about that? Pay attention to that, that every morning, no matter what happened the day before, no matter what you did the day before, no matter what's going on, God provides new every morning what we need for the day. God's mercies don't run out. They don't dry up. Every morning, life and breath and strength he gives to us. And in the hymn, I think Chisholm takes it a step further, making clear something that Lamentations 3 only implies. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Sure, there are more things maybe that I would like, but all I have needed and more, God has provided. If God is never changing and always faithful, that means that we can count on him for all things. Great is thy faithfulness indeed, Lord, unto me. Now, verse 2 gets us into something that we talked about in the summertime with cues from the pews. I don't know if you remember Psalm 19. The gist of Psalm 19 is to say that the heavens and the earth tell us about God. The heavens and the earth tell us that there is a God who is good. And you can see that reflected. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. There's no verse that I can point to say that this is where he's taking it from, but I mean, this is very biblical language. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, Genesis 1:14 says, God made the sun and the moon. He made them to mark off the seasons. So all of those things unfold according to God's purposes. And not only do the sun, moon, and stars tell us that God exists, they also, Chisholm says, tell us what God is like. He says, the sun and the moon and the seasons and the stars, they join with all nature in manifold witness. When was the last time you said the word manifold? And you weren't talking about an engine. Do you know what manifold means? Many folds, many times over, right? So sun, moon, and stars join in diverse and various, many-faceted witness to God's faithfulness and love. The point is that the consistency and the dependability of the seasons and of the weather, right? The way that the sun always comes up in the morning and the moon comes up so we can sleep, that points to God's goodness and faithfulness. And I mean, that sounds a lot like something like Acts 14:17. He has not left us without testimony. He has shown kindness to us by giving us rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides us with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Chisholm says essentially that in verse 2 of Great Is Thy Faithfulness. He says, all of nature points to a God who is good and who is gracious and who is dependable. And so we naturally sing, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. That's verse 2. Verse 3. If I really wanted to show my pastor's roots here, I would say that this is a list of 5 P's. Okay? Verse 3 is 5 P's. Pardon for sin. Peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, no P there, but what's strength for today? Perseverance, right? And bright hope for tomorrow, the promise of tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Now, that's very nice with 5 P's, but it doesn't capture the powerfulness of this. It doesn't do justice to what Chisholm has pulled together. Like, as a songwriter, I look at this and I go, oh, I wish I could write something like this, because it just captures so powerfully and so succinctly all the things that are ours as God's children. If you were laying out a brochure for all the things that we enjoy, the benefits that we enjoy as God's beloved children, then this is it. Pardon for sin. God didn't just create the sun and the moon and the stars and the seasons. He created us. And then we said, God, thanks, but I know better than you what's right and what's wrong. And yet, God sent his one and only son into the world to pay for our sin, to pardon us. It's Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? Who does that? Who is sovereign over all things and yet forgives the sins of an ungrateful creation? Right? Like, if you make a pie this afternoon and it turns out awful, you're not going to serve it to your family. Well, if you love your family. If you don't love them, maybe you'll give them that pie. What are you going to do? Forget it. I'm going to make a new one. God didn't do that. He pardoned us. He pardoned our sin. And he gave us peace that endures. Importantly, peace with God, right? Romans 5:1-2. God has made us not enemies with him anymore. We are not at war with him, but we are at peace with God. We have peace within our hearts, right? Psalm 4, the peace, not Psalm, Philippians 4, the peace that surpasses knowledge, understanding can be ours. Jesus said, the peace that I give to you is not like the peace that the world gives, so let not your hearts be troubled. We have that peace from God if we are willing to embrace it. Pardon for sin, peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Everywhere you go, the sovereign Lord of creation is walking beside you. Just think about that. You know, as a kid, you're afraid to go. As a kid, I was afraid to go into our dark dugout basement. My parents will laugh. Because it was dug out of the house later, afterwards, after it was built. And it's dark. It's a farmhouse basement. I'm afraid to go there. But if somebody bigger than me is with me, no problem. Guess what? God is with you wherever you go, dark basement or otherwise. Yeah, so Joshua 1:9 applies, right? Be strong and courageous because I go with you. My presence will be with you wherever you go, God said to Joshua. And strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. I don't think you can put it more perfectly. What God provides, the strength and perseverance that we need for today, with the promise that eternity, paradise, waits for us. In verse 3, I think that Chisholm pulls together this beautiful list of all the blessings that are ours. And then he says, not only those, but 10,000 besides. Names off those big top five, and then he says, and in addition to that, there are so many countless things that we have to be thankful for. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So there's the hymn. What do we do with it? Right, we've dug up a lot of treasure here. How are we going to use it? Okay, two things. First, it's Thanksgiving, and so I think you can guess where I'm going to go. The truths of this hymn should move us to Thanksgiving, to be grateful. I mean, just look at the hymn for a minute. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, pardon for sin, peace that endureth, all of creation that points to a faithful God who never changes in his faithfulness. That should move us to gratitude. And besides those poetic things, just think about your own life lately. Have you experienced God's new mercies every morning? Have you had your eyes open to watch for them? They're there. God's never-changing, ever-faithful mercies should move us to be thankful. And second, God's never-changing, ever-faithful mercies should give us hope. Here's why I say that. And this is why I ask you to keep Lamentations 3 open. Look again at Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3:19 says, do I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And that seems like a really weird way to introduce great is thy faithfulness. But it is in times of great need that we understand just how great God's faithfulness is. Right, when Jeremiah wrote this about the bitterness and the gall, he was at a very low point in his life, like bottom of the barrel, scraping into it, terrible time in his life, terrible time in the life of his nation. And yet, what does he say in verse 21? Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. What does he call to mind? Because of the great love of the Lord, we are not consumed. For his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's never changing, ever faithful mercies are reason for hope. Jeremiah is at the end of his rope. There's nothing left. And yet, what does he turn to give him hope? the truths that great is thy faithfulness tell us. Your circumstances may change, your stability may shift, but God never will. His mercies to you are new every morning. When hardship and bitterness and gall come along, you can look him in the eye and say, yet I will have hope because I know that my God is faithful and he will provide whatever it is that I need to get through this. Call the song to mind if you need to and sing it. Let it fill your heart with hope. God's never-changing, ever-faithful mercies inspire gratitude. God's never-changing, ever-faithful mercies can give you hope. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your never-changing, ever-faithful mercies. Every morning, Lord, it seems the world throws something new at us, and it feels like we are constantly adapting to new circumstances and new realities and new trials. But new every morning are your mercies. Your compassions, they fail not. God, I pray that if anyone is feeling the way that Jeremiah did in Lamentations 3, that you would work by your Spirit right now to give them that hope that Jeremiah had. Lord, for all of us, we pray that this reminder that you are faithful, that you are with us, that you have promised us eternity, we pray that it would give us hope. We pray that it would strengthen us, enable us to take risks for you, give us the courage to walk in a world of trials. And Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts to gratitude as well. Lord, may we never take for granted what you have provided for us. But may we at every opportunity acknowledge just how good you are. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name.